I got a wonderful little video from a former college student of mine who wrote, said, "Dr. Sellers, this video reminded me of what you used to talk to us about all the time." Well, that intrigued me, so I opened it up and looked at it. And it was a viral video. You may have seen it. It's of a little boy, a preschool boy, probably 4 years old, who's walking down the driveway, shaking his head and talking to himself. His head is down, and he is saying over and over, "I'm tired, I'm cranky, I worked hard at school today. I'm tired, I'm cranky, I worked hard at school today." And when he walked up a little closer, his dad said, "What are you saying?" He goes, "Now you listen to me. Everybody listen to me. I'm tired. I'm cranky. I worked hard at school today." And the dad said, "Well, you want us to leave you alone?" He goes, "Uh-huh. Because I'm tired. I'm cranky. I worked hard at school." And it goes on from there, but you get the idea. The parents said, "Well, I'm tired too. I worked hard at work today." And the mother said, "And I worked hard today." And so they started sharing the misery. And I knew exactly what my student was talking about. I used to talk to, and I still do when I have a chance, a bad attitude can come on us suddenly, and we better be ready. Because not only will it spoil our day, but it will spoil everybody else's day. Now, the real point I want to emphasize today, and I'm going to take a look at something we don't normally look at closely. I want to look at the Ten Commandments in our first lesson. But the real point is this. Sometimes our lives get so twisted out of shape of what's happening in our lives that we forget that God is still at work in our lives. He is not finished with us yet. And those bad attitudes can hit us pretty fast. You know, I'm a big believer in being prepared for those moments when they happen. Now, most of the things that drive us to distraction are out of our control anyway, so we might as well be prepared for them, right? But we're not. We get stuck in traffic as though that's something unusual. That's never happened. It happens all the time. You know, insanity is doing the same thing or having the same attitude all the time and thinking we're going to get different results out of it. No. We know the things that are going to drive us to distraction. And traffic is just one of them. Colleagues, children, animals, co-workers, neighbors, the weather. It's either too cold or it's too hot. The pollen is either too high or too low. We can find all sorts of things that will kickstart us into a bad attitude. And it always will take us to a bad place unless we're prepared. And so I emphasize to all my students, which means I have to emphasize it to myself a lot, we need to practice the discipline of being grateful rather than hateful. We need to practice the discipline of speaking blessings rather than curses. We need to practice the discipline of being joyful and not being angry. See, the default mode for us when we get caught off balance is to get angry. And we spoil things for everyone when that happens. We must remember that God is still at work in our lives, and when we're absolutely caught off guard, we must follow God's written instructions. Now, that's one of the things that I used to get reminded of all the time when I'd try to assemble something, and I'd wind up not being able to do it. And somebody would say, "Did you follow the written instructions?" Well, no. Duh, why would I want to do that? I'm having too much getting angry. When we are drifting into those angry, bitter, unhappy moments, you must remember to follow the written instructions. God gave us the Ten Commandments, not to restrict us, but to free us to look at the Savior. The commandments open the way for us to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're listed twice in Scripture. You know, something's in the Bible one time, it's important. If it's in there twice, Exodus 20 and in the book of Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments are there. They are the foundation of the moral life of the Judeo-Christian Islamic heritage. Most of the laws in the world can be traced back to God's written directions for us. When in doubt, follow the instructions. So he starts off, and there are many ways to look at these. I've always enjoyed for myself, and when I teach them, to say they're in two sections. The first four, the numbering of these is different. The Hebrew text does not have a number one there, or a number two, and they're organized a little differently. But they're roughly in half. The first four commandments or so deal with our vertical relationship with God. These are important. They're crucial. We must follow those directions. And the second five or six, depending on how they're categorized, are the horizontal, our relationship with each other. We must keep those too. When we follow the directions, we come face to face with Jesus, because we find that when we post the Ten Commandments and look over them, it's shocking how many people don't know them anymore. There was a poll done in England, probably 30 years ago, where the clergy in England were all asked if they could to list the Ten Commandments in order. And only about 60% of them could. Now that's a shock. We need to know them, to read them, to mark them, learn them, and inwardly direct them. But it starts off God telling us who He is. I'm the Lord your God. He is our God. We're not our own little gods. And we are to have no other gods before Him. So the first of the commandments, of the written directions to us, is have nothing in our lives that is more important to us than our relationship with God. I've got to tell you, that catches us all the time. I spent about 3 hours this morning, Father Blick and I did, helping another parish with listening to first confessions from about 200 precious little children, second graders, 7 years old. And it's humbling. You see a lot of how the parents have raised the children by that point in what they bring to confession. Now, some of them, and you probably know this, already have major adult issues in their lives. When there's been a death in the family, or a divorce, or an arrest, or a financial setback, and the children carry those with them. And so it's humbling, because we need to make sure that they are learning the ways of the Lord so they don't wind up being tired and cranky and working hard and pulling everyone down and arguing. We must keep God first in our lives, and it takes Jesus to help us do that. We are not to erect anything or build anything or subscribe to anything or hold fast to anything of our own creation that is more important than God to us. It's often called building a graven image and falling down and worshiping it. Well, I know some people who fall down and worship brand new cars. Now, I don't think they really worship them, but it becomes of paramount importance in their lives. And it's just another thing that we have. We are not to take, the third one is not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Do not misuse the name of God. And not to mutter His name in anger. That's one that even little seven-year-olds are confessing. I took the Lord's name in vain. Where do children learn how to do that? Where did that little boy in the video learn how to say, I'm tired, I'm cranky, I worked hard at school today? He learned it from his parents. Children are little tape recorders. They repeat. And we are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. People are always shocked in confession, not just the children, but the adults, when they realize or have forgotten that Sunday is a holy day of obligation. We are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I have some of the lawyers among us who want to try to say, well, the Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And they're right. In the Jewish world, they still observe the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But since the first century, Christians have transposed our Sabbath to the Lord's Day, the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's our day, our holy day of obligation. And it's there for our good, so that we are able to worship in a community that is looking up to God together. And of course, those are the ones that deal with the vertical dimension. And then we get the second group, honor our fathers and mothers. That's the only one of the commandments that has a real promise in it, so that our days may be long in the land. Honoring parents is not an option. That's why you will always hear me, and we'll be coming up on it soon when we come to Mother's Day in May and Father's Day in June, and I will always say the same thing. It's important to remember our mothers and our fathers on those special Hallmark holidays, but the commandment is we honor our parents every day. That's part of the written directions that God has given us. And then we get the real ethical ones: not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, and not to covet. And remember that it's with those that Jesus took them to a spiritual level and said that when we've gotten angry in our hearts at someone else, we've committed murder in our hearts. When we have lusted after another, we've committed adultery in our hearts. And so the question always comes up with, and how can anyone keep all of these? And the answer is, we cannot do it without His help, which He is always ready to give to us. He is the one who still is working in our lives now. He hasn't quit. He's still got more for us. We're here today. We woke up this morning. We've been given the gift of a new day. And every minute that we get every day is an additional gift that He gives to us. And when we recognize that He is the one who is guiding us and leading us, and we learn to trust Him and to obey Him. Remember, Jesus took all of the commandments and summed them all up in saying that these written instructions can be boiled down to loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. God first, others second, self third. Sort of like when Jesus said, if we really want to be His disciples, we must, number one, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. He is the one leading us and guiding us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is right in the middle of these written directions, the commandments. They point us directly to Him. He is the lawgiver. He is God in human flesh. And when we want to encounter the God on Sinai who gave these tablets to Moses, remember that he took human flesh and came among us. And during this holy season of Lent, we are following him along the way of the cross to the Holy Week, the week that changed the course of history, and Easter. If you have, like I have, like all of us have, found ourselves tired and cranky and working hard and having a bad attitude, look up to the one who is working in you and leading you. He isn't finished with you yet. Give him a chance, follow him, and let's all change the world for him.